God is so good. And as he was praying there, my mind just kept going to that song we sing, God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And it's just good to be here with you all this morning in this special service. As we go into the next part of the service, the Sunday school hour was good, but I'd like to just be able to bring our mind and our attention to this part of the service. It's a special part as we think about some new members coming in, but also as we think about the baptism here for Mackenzie. And we want God's presence to be here. We want him to anoint this part of our service because it's a very important part, very critical part. I thought it was interesting, Grady, as you started your devotions there this morning about new. Because that's the title of my message, as we see there on the screen, Raised Up to New Life. So I am not techie. I struggled with the thought of having something like this, but yet I love when these slides are here because for me, I'm visual and things connect with me when I see things. And so I'm going to attempt, but they're going to assist me on it. So I'm the one that I like to be able to just speak without a lot of other things interrupting my attention. So I told Glenn, I said, if I think about it, I'll say next slide and they can change it. If I don't, I'll just keep right on preaching. So that's how we arranged it here for this morning. So welcome, and may God's anointing be upon this part as we look to him to lead out in this part of the service. Raised up to new life. I'm blessed with how the service pulls together and blends together. We're going to be looking largely out of Colossians 2, 9 through 15, and then some verses out of Colossians 3, 1 through 5. These verses are very special to me. I like to be able to live them out daily as God works in my life. This initially happens at rebirth, but also I believe it's an ongoing thing of sanctification where we give over and he puts in his life into us. As I say, the title, Raised Up to New Life, for new life to happen, for this new life to happen, it requires an exchange. We need to give up so we can receive. And it is very important. So often, if we're not careful, or even today as Christianity is presented, it's the thought of just attach to, just make, add on to your life Jesus, and then you just keep on living the way you want to. But Jesus and his requirement for life, it requires an exchange. It requires us to give up so that we can receive his life. And as I said, that it happens initially at new birth. But as we go through life and he sanctifies our lives, he still requires us to give up. As he shows areas in our lives that are not in accordance with his word, he says, are you willing to give that up? If you're willing, I will give you my life. As I thought about giving up an exchange for requires an exchange so you can receive, I had to think about our homes. You can think about your home where you live. You think about your room, or maybe you think about your garage or your shop. There are times where things are in there and they clutter and they build up. And we say, I need to get the broken things out of so I can put in the new and working things. Now, I need to get rid of the old furniture so I can bring in new and better furniture. You need to get rid of that so new can come in. If you just bring in the new furniture, if you just bring in the new tools, it just adds more clutter. It needs to be cleaned out. A while ago, each one of us as believers, we made an exchange with God. We say, God, here is my old nature. I die to that, God. I give it over to you. It is no more part of me. And we say, God, I want your life. And God said, you are willing to die to the old. I will give you my life. It's my very DNA I am putting into you, God, into you, my child, God says to us. And he planted that right into our heart. You got rid of the junk that the devil gave you in exchange for the very life of Jesus. That has everything to make you complete. He put your spirit inside of you. It's about God coming in and him changing our desires, him changing our wanter. I don't know if that's proper English. But so often we want this, we want that, we want. And we stop and look at it and we're like, what are we really wanting? And when God comes in, he said, I want to change that. I want to give you new desires where you want what I want. The old desires begin to die. And this continues as we invite Jesus into our pain, into our brokenness. This is Jesus birthing your new identity and what he designed you to be here for. So I say, I'm speaking to you, McKenzie, but I'm speaking to each one of us this morning. How often do we stop and we realize that God has placed his identity? He has designed you for a calling, for a destiny, and he wants to birth that in you. But it's us needing to be willing to give up so he can start birthing that in our lives. At rebirth, we died. Our old man, nature, we received the new spirit, completely new. We become the son or the daughter of God. Our soul then begins this process of rebirth. That's what we call sanctification. And then someday, we will receive the new body. I believe this reality should give us an inner strength, an inner strength to know the Holy Spirit is in us. We can walk and live in our new identity. We can be changed into what God has planned us to be here for. You can bring the next slide up. I'd like to start at looking at this first point in Colossians. We're going to read Colossians 2, 9 through 15. And it's death to the old nature. That's what these verses are talking about. So if you look at Colossians 2, 9 through 15, and we'll read that here at this point. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried in him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So I want to look at three things here. Death to the old nature, the kingdom of darkness disarmed, and then let's walk in newness of life. I believe the next slide also then brings out the point that I really like us to, and then the next slide, that I would like us to think about is Jesus' fullness is our completeness. Now, as I said earlier, we get this mindset of attaching it onto. But these verses here in verse 9 and 10 talks about Jesus' fullness and our completeness. It's Jesus was fully God in a human body. But yet, as he lived and walked, he exemplified to us how we can live in power and strength. And then as he so often says, I want to live in you so that you, I can make you complete. In Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10, as I just read, I like how the NLT words it. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head of every ruler and authority. Our union with Jesus makes us complete. And that is what is so beautiful. And I don't know where your mind goes as you think about completeness and Jesus being a part of our lives and how he makes us complete. But I believe this statement or this thought that Jesus' fullness is our completeness and that Jesus was completely in a human body and exemplified new life to us. I believe it brings us to an accountability. Because if we are going to believe that that's who Jesus was, then we need to believe also that everything he said and did was truth and real. I believe also he lives in us. If you can go to the next slide. Because he lives in fullness, we can have completeness. That is all power, all strength to rise above when we mess up, to rise up when we mess up. Do we believe that? The completeness of Jesus in us allows us to have the power and the strength to rise up. We are without excuse. But that gives me encouragement. Because as we walk throughout life and we make mistakes, the devil is so quickly there to pour on the shame, the condemnation. We need to be honest and say, yes, I messed up. But we can also rise up above that shame and that condemnation and say, Jesus, you are complete in me. And I can rise up and walk again. It also means completeness means that we can have all joy, all peace, and satisfaction. As I said in the Sunday school class, so often we can get sidetracked and our value system starts to change. And we start looking around us and saying, boy, that just looks nice. Boy, I would like to be a part of that. Boy, I'd just like to put all my time and attention into that. And we start, our value system starts changing. And we stop realizing that Jesus in me gives me the satisfaction that I need. That yes, if he calls me to do an everyday job, I will find satisfaction in that because I'm doing it for Jesus. If I am called to do other things, if it's his calling in my life, it brings true joy, peace, and satisfaction. So often I categorize things. I separate my everyday life from my spiritual life, where God says, I want to bring all joy, peace, and satisfaction into everything I call you to do. His fullness brings completeness. He has all the answers. He has all the truth. We don't need to look into the realms of darkness. And I don't know what that brings to your mind when you think that. But so, there's far too many people that think they can dabble with, they can mess around with. They think they can find answers elsewhere. And it's in the realms of darkness. And he says, you don't need to look there. You don't need to be a part of that. I have the answers for you. I have the truth for you. And also because of his fullness brings us completeness. We are the winners in this exchange. We are the victors in this exchange. We are the recipients of his goodness, his completeness, his fullness for us. His relationship that he brings to us. The next point is another slide then, verse 11 and 12 in Colossians chapter 2 is our death, burial, and resurrection to new life. As we read there chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, I would like to read that also out of the NLT because I love how it's worded. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty plan of God who raised Christ from the dead. Our death and burial and resurrection to new life. I'm so thankful for this truth. Paul is saying here, he's giving a description that there is something that happens in our lives. It's not a physical procedure, but it's a spiritual procedure. When you, Mackenzie, received new life, God did something to your heart. For each one of us as believers here this morning, when we accepted Christ into our lives, he did a surgery, a spiritual surgery in our lives. He did a cutting off. A circumcision means to do away with, a cutting off, a separation. Jesus had to do spiritual surgery to get rid of that old destroying nature in our lives. This was not something that man or a trained physician can do, but it's a procedure that Jesus only can do, and we can claim it in our lives. And I believe that is something that we should even be intentionally thinking about as we are walking throughout life. And I thought about this again, and I think I shared it last Sunday in our instruction class, but I want to just share it again, just to kind of give us a word picture. As we are walking through life, we are living life, we are interacting with the world, we are hearing the world, we are seeing how they're acting, we talk with them, we interact with them. And as we go through life, as we all know that temptation comes our way, as we are maybe visiting with maybe some of your buddies that are not born again, and they're talking about the fun things they're doing, and they're saying, man, how they're out and just living life to the fullest, they claim. Temptation might come our way and say, man, I wonder what that would be like. As that temptation comes our way, it starts confronting us. And we come to a crossroads in our lives of what will we do with that process, with that temptation, with that desire. As that comes our way, we have two choices to make. We say, you know what? That would be kind of nice. Maybe I would enjoy that. What does that do in our lives? That makes room. That allows the old nature to rise up. Or that temptation can come our way. We can see it and we can say, you know what? I am dead to that. I die to that. I am no longer that person anymore. That is not me. Yes, I recognize how that alerts my attention. Yes, I see how my flesh would enjoy that, but I am dead. There are times in my life where I have to speak that out loud. When temptation comes my way, I said, no, that is not me anymore. I died. And in the midst of that, you can also say, my new identity is a son or a daughter of God. That's who I am. He designed me and planned for me to be here today to renounce that, but also to step into his callings in my life. Not sure what the next slide is. Yes, that's basically what I was trying to explain. Romans 6:3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. I believe that today in baptism, something spiritual happens. Why else were people willing to die for that? Why else did God, in his word, Jesus so often say, repent, believe, and be baptized? I believe it does something spiritually. It sends out a statement to the spiritual realm saying, I am no longer this person anymore. I am now in the kingdom of God. I am now a son or a daughter in the kingdom of God. And as we proceed with baptism here shortly, Lord willing, I believe you are sending out a statement, Mackenzie, that you are a daughter of God. And all the spirit realm sees that. And they see the hedge of protection that Jesus has put around your life. I believe it also, because of that statement going out, it allows you to walk in victory for God. The following verse, I believe it's on the next slide also, it says, "For if you have been planted together in the likeness of his resurrection, we shall also be in the likeness," I'm sorry, "for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection." So because we as believers this morning are willing to die to our old nature like Jesus died on the cross, we will also be able to rise up in resurrection, live a new life. The next point is on the next slide, is the kingdom of darkness disarmed. And I believe this is very critical for us. And I was alluding to this throughout the message so far, how we are risen up into new life. But I believe this new life, McKinsey, that you've taken, but for each one of us as believers, but then even daily as we are intentional with dealing with the things in our lives, I believe it disarms the power of darkness that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. I believe this truth is critical because it deals with our shame and enables us to walk in our new identity. Colossians 2:14 says there, "He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." I don't know how many of us have ever been handed, and you don't need to answer this, but how many of us have been handed papers with a list of things that are wrong with us? And I don't want you to answer that. Or maybe if you have ever been stopped by an officer and says, "Here's your paper, this is what you're at fault with." It's very humbling. It's very, even at times, shameful. But even if you were handed, maybe someone read or spoke to you a list of things that they see at fault in your life, it's very heavy to deal with. I know for me, even as a believer, and maybe you can identify, but as you attempt to walk the Christian life, as you build that relationship with Jesus, there are times where Satan, the accuser of the brethren, comes up to you and starts whispering in your ears, "What about this? What about that? Are you sure you can do this? Are you even worthy of this? Or how can you even do that because of this and this and this?" What is the truth and the promise of that verse? What do you claim when that whisper is in your ear, is in your heart? Verse 14 says again, "He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." Can I hear an amen? Amen. Brothers and sisters, this morning, that is the truth and the reality of the new life in Jesus. If you took everything to the cross and his life is in you, he says it's nailed to the cross. It's not you anymore. It's dealt with. Listen to this verse, and I will explain how I was explaining that to you. The next slide is Revelations 12, 10, and 11. If you want to turn to it and underline it, you can. Because this is truth. This is how we can walk in newness of life. But this is what happens as we are attempting to walk in the newness of life. I don't know if I like that word, attempting. That sounds like we're trying to white knuckle it. We're trying to work at it. as we are building that relationship with Jesus to walk, to enable us to walk this new life. This is what happens at times. Revelations 12, 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. I believe that is how the early Anabaptists were able to do what they did. But I want to bring it up to present today. This is how 2025 believers today can walk in newness of life. Think about a courtroom situation, and I don't know that very well because I thankfully didn't have to be a part of it. But as I tried to think about it, and I heard other people explain it, you have the judge who sits at the table. I don't know all the proper names, but you have the, the accusation party that is accusing the person that is at fault. Then you have also maybe somebody knows the right word, defense party, I guess. The jury makes the decision. The defense attorney, maybe they call it, is over on the right side, at least. The accused party comes in, and they come up to the judge, and the judge says, were you this and this? And the guilty party says, yes, I did that. And the one that are making the accusation says, see, I told you, this is who he is, this is what he has done, this is the guilt, he is guilty. The judge looks over to the defense attorney, and he says, is this person guilty? Now take that into the spiritual realm. You walk in before God the judge, and God says, are you guilty? And you say, yes, I failed by myself. I did wrong. You simply agree with what I said. And the devil accuser, he's there. See, I told you, he is lost. He's no good. He is about to just cast him out right now. Just get rid of him. God looks over to Jesus, and he says, is this person guilty? Jesus turns. He looks up at the cross, and he says, that's nailed to the cross. That is under the blood. That is gone. It's washed away. I took care of that at the cross. He is set what? Free. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You agree that yes, you messed up. But all you got to do is look over at the cross and say that's under the blood. That's taken care of. My sins are washed away. I can walk out of that courtroom free because Jesus paid the price. How often do we want to sit under that condemnation? We want to just sit there and, you know, that's me. Yeah, I messed up. I'm a bad guy. I can't go on. And we hear that accusing whisper going on and on and on. And all we need to do is say, God, my Father, can you look over to Jesus, the defense attorney? Can you see what is true here? And we can walk away from that. We all have been there. We are all on level ground at the foot of the cross. Could go on with that too. We can dismiss these charges with the truth of Jesus' shed blood and the word of our testimony. Amen. That seals it, that's done. I wonder why we don't have more testimony in our church. Because I believe that is so important, impactful, and encouraging, but also sending a message to the spirit realm saying, this is what Jesus is doing. He is a part of my life, and this is what he is doing for me. And you, Satan, have no right or authority to speak those lies to me. Satan and his demons were excited, and they thought they had him. But by rising again, Jesus spoiled them. He disarmed them. Next slide says, wow, our God is awesome. He disarmed them by Jesus coming again, by us claiming that Jesus rose again, that Jesus died on the cross and he is rose again to new life. It disarms. It wipes their feet out from underneath the enemy. It says they spoiled them. He disarmed them. Lastly, Colossians 3, 1 through 5, the last section, as to say, next slide, is let us walk in newness of life. Colossians 3, 1 through 5, and I want to go over that briefly here. There is so much here in these verses, but I love these verses. If we think about walking in this newness of life, we died, the enemy is disarmed in our lives. Now we can walk in this newness of life. Colossians 3, 1 through 5. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And it goes on and on about how God does not like that. He does not want that in our lives. And also some more things of what we need to deal with in everyday life. But verse 1a and verse 3 talks about this thing of our position in Christ, where we reside. I believe the next slide brings up that verse 1a in NLT. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ. And then I skip down to verse 3. It says, for you died to this life. And that is talking about our previous life, our sinful life, our old sin nature. And your real life now, with Christ living in us, is hidden with Christ in God. And I love that. Hidden in Christ with God. Where does our spirit reside now? That's a big discussion, and I won't go there and dissect all that. But think about this. Because you have the life of God in you, you are in Christ. And it says, your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Your spirit is with God. And as I think about that, being in Christ, it's all-encompassing. It's totality. It's completeness. It's protected. I like that thought. It's protected. We are dead, buried, risen. The record is canceled. The enemy disarmed. We are positioned in Jesus in heavenly places. Now, how do we live? We live in the reality of how God sees things. How does he see me, and how does he see the life that he has planned for me? So as we think about, let us walk in newness of life, I believe we need to have God start showing us, God, how do you view me, and how do you view the life that you have for me? How can you open the eyes of my heart, God, and see the reality how you see it? Verse 1b and then verse 2 is another slide also. Verse 1b, it says, now set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. I believe this is where God starts changing our value system. He starts changing how to do life. The Our affections start changing. Our desires start changing. We want what God wants. Our thinking, because it talks about in Philippians, the renewing of our minds. Or is that Romans? I'm getting that. Anyways, a verse in Scripture about the renewing of our minds. He is renewing us. What does God say about what is truth about you? What is truth about your destiny, your identity, which He has written for you before the creation of the world? All of our members were written. He had us all planned out. He had you and I designed to be here to fulfill the purpose for the building of His kingdom. Verse 4 says there, if we live with this mindset that Jesus is coming again and wants to take us with Him, He wants to share His glory with us. We are living in truth, walking worthy to receive this gift of His new life. To walk worthy means to live out of verse 5, mortifying. Mortifying means to cutting off, to put to death, to deal with, to take away. Mortify those things. That is how we can walk worthy in as a son and a daughter of God. We can walk worthy because we are willing to mortify, to cut off, to deal with those wrong things that try to attach themselves to our lives. The lust of the flesh, the love of the world, the pride, or even the demonic realm that we might mess with. Those things are trying to lurk inside of us. We need to deal with them. To walk worthy, we need to live out verse 5. We need to deal with the wrong things that attach themselves to our lives. We need to mortify, put to death. We need to renounce them and detach from them. See, that was how you used to live. You lived without a care for what God valued and what God wanted. But that is not who you, Mackenzie, are anymore. That is not who we are anymore as believers. We are walking in newness of life. In closing, I'm putting a call out to you, Mackenzie. But I'm also putting a call out to each believer here this morning. Be the lady, be the man, not just any lady or man this morning, but true, real, genuine, Spirit-filled, and guided believers that God can count on to be intentional with dealing with the issues that are in and that are attaching themselves to our lives as we journey. Don't be ashamed of the gift that He gave you, your identity, and the very life of God in you. Be the man, be the lady that He is looking for, that He designed you to be, to fulfill the destiny that He placed for you being here today. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer.